Welcome to the Voice of Truth. I need to change my voice when I do that, don't I? We get some echo in it. Voice of Truth.
It does sound pretty good. James Earl Jones.
Yeah.
Real deep.
Yeah. Yeah. Voice of Truth. We'll work on that.
Good.
We'll yeah, work on good. That. Try to get a little better on the intro.
Yeah.
Guys, we're talking about Legion here. We're going to be in Mark chapter 5. I hope you watched the Monday show and seen the setup here. They're crossing the sea. Jesus has rebuked the wind. Now the disciples are more afraid of Jesus than they were to start with because they've come face to this reality. I hope we've seen the bad blood that was between these two regions. And Jesus is for the first time stepping out of Galilee, maybe out of his comfort zone, so to speak, into this new territory. We're kind of the uppities was, but it's all this territory is controlled by Rome. And the Jews are waiting on the Messiah to come.
And make everything right.
And give them their land back and oust the Romanites out of the land. That's kind of where we left off on Monday. So now let's read a little bit. I'm going to be reading out of... I'm just going to read out of... the King James. I'll just read out the King James. I got the NIV right here. I heard somebody talking the other day. They said, well, we can't talk about the Bible because you read a different Bible. Like I read a New Living Translation. You read the King James, so we can't talk. We got nothing in common. And guys, let me tell you something.
Yeah, we don't need to go over that again.
We don't need to go over that again.
I mean, really, we don't need to go over that again.
Yeah, that's a good point.
For crying out loud, it's a moot point.
Moot. That would be a good time for that James Earl Jones.
Yeah.
Moot point. Okay, so here we go. And they came over the other side of the sea unto the country of the Gadareans. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. I mean, immediately. You know. Now, a lot
ran right up to him.
Yeah. A lot of translations will say an evil spirit, but it's the same word, unclean or evil. Okay? So keep that in mind here. We're talking demon possessions and all these scary things. Our King James says unclean, but many translations will say evil spirit. Okay. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Now, Luke's Gospel, let me flip over there to Luke's Gospel here real quick. Luke chapter 8. Luke adds a little interesting detail here. Maybe I'll go over here to Luke's in this NIV. Luke chapter 8. Oh, yeah, here we go. And it is verse, let's see. The NIV is kind of different. Okay, verse 27. The way this comes out here. And when Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes. I think in the King James it says he's... how does it say in Luke's Gospel? We're just looking here. Luke chapter 8, verse 27. And when he went forth, there was a man met him out of the city, a certain man which had devils a long time and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but he lived in the tombs. So Luke has got to add the little detail. This guy wasn't wearing any clothes. You know, Matthew doesn't tell us this. Mark doesn't tell us this.
Nope.
But... And you know, this guy, according to that verse, hasn't worn clothes for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So he's naked, he's bleeding, he's living in a graveyard, And this is the guy who first meets Jesus when he steps out of the boat on the other side. No wonder the Jewish people from Galilee didn't cross the lake very often, because think of the welcoming party. You know, a lot of people get some red carpet rolled out. Well, what was here to meet Jesus? A guy who's bleeding, a guy who is naked, who's breaking chains and living in the tombs. Welcome to our city.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty tough. Pretty tough. And when he saw Jesus, verse 6, I'm back to reading here. When he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is your name?" What is that name? All right, let's talk about this, because this is interesting to me. Think about this picture.
It's okay. Totally interesting. First, the fact that he worships him, and the fact that he knows who he is.
Yeah.
Jesus, the Son of God.
Yeah. Yeah. So, keep all the, you know, think about this picture. Jesus has crossed over to the other side of the region of the cast out ones. Now remember, the cast out ones. And there he's met as soon as he steps out of the boat by a nude man. And just keep in mind, in Jewish culture, nakedness is really a big deal. Remember Noah. This is a big deal. Noah's nakedness and all the shame that built up around that, Adam and Eve, yeah, knew they were naked. There's a lot of shame involved here.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that this guy is naked right out of the bat is a huge deal for these Jewish people. And then again, so was blood. Because the Jewish people had a number of rules around blood as well, and it was considered ritually unclean. Which is what we spent the last 2 weeks on, the ashes of a red heifer, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because you couldn't touch tombs and dead bones and blood and all that stuff. So you needed the ashes of a red heifer, the water of separation. So the fact that he is cut and bleeding
and dwelling among the tombs
is also a big, And, you know, Numbers 19 tells us, we spent 6 episodes on that. You can't even touch a grave, a dead bone, nothing. So this is the first guy to meet Jesus, and his disciples are already now scared of Jesus because they'd seen what he did with the sea and the wind.
Mm-hmm.
And now this, oh my God. Yeah. I mean, so you kind of get this picture. So here's this guy. He's naked, he's bloodied, he's living in the tombs in the region of the Gadareans, which is the cast out ones. Is there any doubt why Matthew, Mark, and Luke all feel the need to point out this guy and that he has what is called an unclean spirit? I mean, imagine what has just been going on.
Yeah.
We are in keen focus now. We have battled a storm all night. Now Jesus has calmed that storm. And now this crazy guy that's bleeding, living in the tombs, he's buck naked, and he's... Whew.
Well, you're traveling with Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's called you off your boat. You've been fishing. He calls you and says, "Follow me." You've been on the boat. You've
caught some good fish.
You're afraid. You're afraid of the storm, and then you're afraid of Jesus. And then, as soon as you get to the other side, this guy comes at you, and your mind is like, is this the type of people Jesus attracts?
Yeah.
You know, if I was following a Pharisee, another Pharisee, I don't think he would attract this kind of crowd.
Right.
This kind of crowd wouldn't come around him.
Right. Yeah.
And Jesus, there's a woman that's caught in a very active adultery. She's thrown out in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
This guy that's hanging out in the tombs. You know, all these, you got to be thinking, golly, I don't know about Jesus is really attracting some strange characters.
This is maybe more than what I bargained for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, for real.
Yeah, for real.
I mean, it's more than stepping off of a bus and coming in contact with a homeless guy.
Yeah.
This guy was bloody, naked, breaking chains, dwelling among, I mean, living in a graveyard.
Yeah.
Think about that, dude. It's pretty unsavory to think about, because basically we don't want a whole lot to do with this guy.
Yeah. Well,
and we'll cast him off too.
In political terms, this guy is unclean. Not just a Gentile, he's living in the Gadareans. Unclean. In religious terms, he's unclean because he's bloody and living among the tombs. In social terms, he's unclean because he's naked. So man, he is an outcast in all the realms. Social, political, religious, this guy
He's not got friends.
This guy
not hanging out with anybody that's alive.
Even the Gentiles, even the Romans, they don't want this guy around. Right? I mean, they don't want him. Apparently, they've went to great lengths to keep him out of their own society because they've chained him in the graveyard.
Yeah.
We don't want him over here. The Jews don't want him. You know. So the gospel writers have gone to great lengths to make the point that this guy is the ultimate outcast.
Like the leper.
Like when we were talking about the Ethiopian. Remember we said this Ethiopian meant this far, as far as you can go. Well, now when we're talking an outcast, now we're talking this guy is the farthest reaches. And we get this three, and you know, three is always this biblical number, so we get political, religious, social. He's the outcast of them all.
I see a common denominator here. The worst of the worst. Right?
That's right. That's exactly right.
The worst of the worst. Uh-huh.
You know, no matter what
lepers,
community.
Whores, people who dwell among tombs, you know, Jesus attracts all of them.
Yeah. And you know, this guy, I would say this is labeled as the other. Didn't matter. The Jews, the other. The Gentiles, the other. Romans, the other. Nobody want this guy.
Right.
So, I mean, you know.
Yeah, he wasn't accepted among nobody.
He fits nowhere. He fits nowhere. But the gospel writers here are not done making their point yet. Because watch the first thing Jesus asks. What's your name? That's a huge question. Interesting. Because it is, you know, we got to ask this question. Is he talking to the unclean spirit? Is he talking to this man? We don't know for sure. But the response comes, we're legion. We're legion.
How many people that if they come at you in that condition, would you care to ask what their name is?
Yeah.
You're walking the other direction generally.
Yeah. Well, we're just saying, you know, not Michael, row the boat ashore, but let's row back out.
Yeah, I mean,
Now, we'll find another port.
Yeah. I mean, that's right. But, the love of Christ constrains us, don't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And so,
as I am sent, I send you.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah. And, you know, when this guy answers this question, my name is Legion. We're Legion. Immediately, what comes to our mind is thinking of, in our generation, The Exorcist. I guess in the newer generation, maybe The Exorcism of Emily Rose or some kind of Hollywood show and green goop and heads turning around. And that's kind of what we think of in our religious term. Of this naked, bloody dude living in the tombs, outcast of all outcasts, says to Jesus, we are called legion, for we are many. And he begs Jesus not to send him out of the area. Just keep in mind, this is all kind of scriptures here. So how does this story play out? Well, the demons ask here not to be sent into the abyss, right? They ask instead to be sent into the herd of pigs. This is kind of amazing because when I talked to Bo on Monday on the phone, we were talking about this very thing. He brought it up. So I said, man, you'll have to tune in next week because we'll be here. So the demons asked not to be sent into the abyss, but to be sent into the herd of pigs. Jesus agrees. They go into the pigs, and immediately they run off a cliff, go into the sea, and drown. I've always wondered, that's weird.
Yeah.
Haven't you? I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Why in the world?
That's why when you picked this topic, I was like, I don't even know where this is going to go.
Yeah. So, and I used to think, why do these pigs run off into the, you know. Often my first response when I read these type of stories, the demon possession stories.
Out of control.
Yeah. Well, you know, you don't read these things in the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. No, in the New. You know, that's where we see them.
And, that's true.
I'm going to say this here. Now when I read these stories in the New Testament, this is obviously some kind of mental illness, okay? Like we had talked earlier, not on the show, but before the show, about the guy, the father whose son kept throwing himself in the fire. You know, we can't say that was epilepsy. Probably was something around. We are, you know, a little bit more sophisticated now in our medical terminologies. We kind of understand these. Well, they didn't have that back then.
Right.
They just, you know, when they had a seizure, boom. You know, and especially as the Jews would be more integrated into pagan societies, which had all these other gods, right? Mm-hmm. The Romans, you know, they had their Hades and Apollos and Mars and, you know, Zeus. They had all of these things. So now they get mixed. Oh, well, that's one of the demons. And, you know, so now it kind of goes in. Well, we don't have any doctors to say, well, no, that's epilepsy. Well, that's a
Schizophrenia
or whatever. So it was demon possession. Well, in our society today, you know, when you get real religious, it's still demon possession. But I don't go there, right? I mean, that's just me. You believe whatever you want. I believe there was mental illness going on there. So they kind of mapped out these spiritual realities about demon possession, all this stuff. And you know what? If that's the way you read the story, I think it's fair. Not for the demon possessions, but if you want to read these stories and kind of sum it up to the fact that this is a mental illness that we're dealing with here, I think that's fair and I think that's okay.
I think no matter how you slice it, whether you say it's a mental illness or a spirit, the result's the same.
Yeah.
The result of dwelling among the tombs, busting the chains, being naked, being bloody, he's in a mess. Oh, now, I don't care what you call it, whether you call it schizophrenia, whether you call it an unclean spirit. Mm-hmm. What's the difference? Mm-hmm. The real issue here, this guy is in bad trouble.
Yeah, yeah.
He's in a bad place. Nobody wants to be around
him. Yeah, yeah. And I think when you understand the context of this story, you begin to understand there's a lot more going on here than just this naive ancient reading. It's actually a very sophisticated story. Okay, so we've got to dive in a little bit deeper here. So. When I say it's more sophisticated, that has to do with more than just the surface reading of demonic possession. Some kind of spirit that inhabits a person. Okay? This is a political allegory that's speaking to something bigger, something more important. Because remember, the Jews are waiting on their Messiah to come and give them this land back because it used to be theirs. Mm-hmm. And now these Romans own everything, and now, you know, we get the high class and the low class and the outcast and all of this stuff is going on here. So it's more than just, do you believe in demons?
Right.
You know, that's one of the points we wanted to try to make. So, and I could ask Jeff this question, and I know how he's going to respond, but all the time whenever you heard this passage preached from the pulpit, how did you hear it? I was the Gadarean. I was a wild man in my youth. They couldn't hold me, and God had to come and tame me down, and now I was found at the feet of Jesus in the right mind. It's always about me, ain't it?
Yeah, I mean, that's the way it's been preached.
It's always about me. I was a Gadarean man, and I was this man, and if you want to go there, man, knock yourself out. Maybe the story's a little bigger than you. I'm just saying, maybe it's a little bigger, you know? Because really, this guy, and I tell you, honestly, even when we were wherever, we were never this kind of outcast. We fit in with the people who listen to country music. Yeah. We fit in with the people who We was never like this guy.
No.
We might try to fantasize and say we were, but we wasn't. Mm-hmm. We're just lying, trying to make something bigger than what it really is.
This cat... This man here, he didn't have any friends.
None. He was an outcast anywhere.
We had each other. We had other friends that liked to do the same thing we did.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
To say we were the Gadarean that had to be chained
up. That was just foolishness.
Yeah, it really was.
It's just foolishness.
And, you know, Jim's right when he says that this story has bigger implications than just what meets the eye. Okay? Mm-hmm. You know... There was a story, I don't want to take too much time, but
yeah, right.
there was a story about, they asked Jesus about a blind man, and they asked him, did he sin or did his parents sin? Okay? And Jesus, basically, not in these words, but he said, neither one. Hmm. But there are bigger implications, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There's a bigger thing going on here than what you think.
Yeah.
Neither sin. But that the glory of God might be shown in him, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He made him see. Yeah. So all these things are they're not just limited down to...
Right. I just think of that story, and I know how it was kind of told to me one time, you know, like, the emphasis was kind of there that God really made that guy blind so that Jesus could heal him to kind of show out. Let me say something. That is not true.
No.
That is not true. Okay, do we make that James Earl Jones kind of statement? So remember, guys, this is a political situation here between the east and the west banks of the Sea of Galilee. And how the Jews remember the story of how all this land was once their land, and they hoped for a day that it would be returned to them. Now, keep all that in mind and look at the language that's being used here. We are legion. For we are many, says the naked friend. Now, where does this language come from? This is Roman language. This is not a made-up thing. Legion is a very specific Roman term. This is not just a term that speaks to a multiplicity of voices or spirits in the story. This is, in fact, a military term. Mm-hmm. Military term. Okay? Legion was a group of soldiers. Who would occupy a territory of the Roman Empire. Mm-hmm. After they conquered them, they would put a legion in there.
That's right.
And that's how they do it. It was, in fact, a very specific number of group of soldiers. At the time of Caesar Augustus, a legion meant 6,826 soldiers. That is 6,100 foot soldiers and 726 horsemen. That was a legion. That's pretty big.
Yeah.
That's pretty big. Now, think about what's going on here. This political allegory, whether it represents an actual historic representation of an event that happened in time or whether this is created to express the teachings and the significance of Jesus. Now, I'm not saying the story didn't happen, but I'm saying this story has bigger implications.
That's right.
There's clearly something going on here beneath the surface of this story that's more than just about spirits and demons. Jesus crosses to the other side of the lake. He engages with a man who is ritually, socially, politically unclean. Then he orders an entire legion of oppressive forces into a herd of pigs that are also considered unclean. Mm-hmm. Ah, now we're starting to get the picture, ain't we? And then that legion immediately runs off of cliffs and leaves the very land that the Jews had been hoping Messiah would one day show up and return to them. Just let that soak in a minute. This was a military thing. They're waiting, right? They're waiting. When are we going to get this land back? And now Jesus shows up and he's confronted with a legion.
Yeah.
A legion who was scared of him, just like the disciples are scared of him. Mm-hmm. And then Jesus says to the legion, because the legions are now trying to barter with him. Oh, don't send us away. Don't send us into the abyss. Send us into the swine. Fine. Into the swine they go. Off the cliff they go into the sea. Boom. So now this man's oppressors are where?
Gone.
Gone. It's kind of an amazing story to me. You know, we got just about 3 minutes here left in the show. We'll finish this story up on Friday. But what are your thoughts so far?
I'm like you just said. I'm letting it soak in.
Yeah. It's good stuff. See, we worry about, oh my gosh, demon possessions, legions, and now these movies are made, what you know, I am legion.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's Hollywood nonsense. Almost said the BS word. You can't say the BS word. You can't say the BS word, but, you know.
Yeah.
But
shouldn't.
Yeah. But, guys, you understand here, this is, you know what? These things sell movies, and they keep people in fear, and they keep people in oppression. And now, because there's a lot of fear going on here, mm-hmm. With the disciples, the storm, the politics of the situation, the ceremonially unclean of the situation, the social outcast, this whole land. And I'm amazed that Jesus makes a specific point. We must go to the other side. He's going there. I mean, he's on a mission to go there. He's preached all day because this is coming off of feeding of the 5,000.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty common denominator that we're seeing here. With the blind man, with this guy, that he comes to people that are just completely cast out.
Mm-hmm.
For one, but it has huge implications for us, for today.
Yeah.
I mean, this jumps off the page at me when you really get into it.
Yeah. See, when you go and you read and you begin to be drawn into these stories and reinterpret these stories and hear these stories and live these stories and feel these stories, smell the Sea of Galilee, as Malcolm used to say, that you could, smell that dust of the road going to Thessalonica, and, mm-hmm. Those things. Man, you're there.
Yeah, get in the head of a person that's actually witnessing what's going on. We just come upon the sea, we just crossed over the sea, and then suddenly we're met by this.
Yeah.
What we would call a lunatic.
You know, we get the version from Matthew. Matthew's watching. Mark's watching from over here. Luke's watching from over here. And they're writing. Now, each one is going to write a little something different here.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean it's wrong, but you and I would be writing the same story, but it's a little bit different because it's how the story affects me.
Yeah.
And how the story affects you.
Yeah, we can't write it any other way.
Right. So our experience now is being involved in the story, and we're coming into it, and this meaning is just opening up, and it just, wow. It's not about some demon possession legion Emily Rose sort of exorcism kind of thing.
Yeah, this ain't Netflix.
Yeah, this ain't Netflix. Anyway, guys, tune in Friday for the conclusion of Legion and Demon Possession. God bless you. Don and Jeff and myself, we really want to thank you guys for tuning in. You don't know what it means to us to have you guys listening. The one thing that you could do to help us out is hit that subscribe button. Leave us a comment. Ask questions in the comments if you want. I am going to leave a link. I'll post it down below for our church services on Wednesday and Sundays. I put those on a different YouTube channel. So I will share that with you guys, give you the link so you can go see what time. We would love to have you come and join us. And, you know, we just love putting out this voice of truth, having our discussions. What you see is what you get. We try to put them out every Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays at 9 a.m. I will tell you, I'm a full-time pastor, but I also work full-time. Jeff works full-time, so it's hard for us to do those things all the time. But again, we're so thankful you tune in. Thank you for all the subscribers. If you haven't subscribed yet, hit that button. You can hit the notification button. You'll know when they're coming out. And guys, again, we are so thankful that you're tuning in. Man, thank you so much. We will keep bringing this stuff to you. And we will see you again. Lord bless.